Good morning, folks. Lovely to see you all. A minister felt badly. He'd been defeated soundly on the golf course by one of his parishioners, a man 30 years his senior. "Cheer up, Reverend," said his opponent. "You'll win in the end. You'll be burying me someday." "Even so," said the inconsolable pastor, "it'll still be your hole." No one likes to lose. And sometimes even the pastor is a poor loser. I guess one reason winning is so important is that winning means success and losing means failure. Losing is one thing, but add a dose of failure to it and it's almost more than we can take. In fact, the fear of failure and disgrace that comes along with it is sometimes enough to keep us from trying at all. In Matthew 14, Jesus is ministering to a multitude of over 5,000 people. After some time, these people need food, but there's none available. And I'm sure you know the story as well as I do. In fact, we heard a great message on this a few weeks ago from Simon Longdon of Pioneers. Jesus takes a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread and he feeds everyone. And in the end, they have more left over than they started with. It's a fantastic miracle. And I'd rank it in the top 10 of Jesus' miracles. But there's another lesson to be learned from that night. One that has the potential, if we apply it, to have a great impact on our daily lives. Now, I know Lillian just read the passage to us, but I'm going to read it again because I like us to have this clearly in our minds as we talk about this passage today. Right away, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and he had them go on ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then he sent the crowd away. And after he'd sent them away, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat was already a long way from land, and it was being pounded by the waves because the wind was blowing against it. Early in the morning, Jesus went out to the disciples, and he walked on the lake. They saw him walking on the lake, and they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. Right away, Jesus called out to them, "Be brave, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, is it you?" Peter asked. "If it is, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. So Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Right away, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Your faith is so small," he said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those in the boat worshipped Jesus. They said, "You really are the Son of God." Some people read this story and they focus on Peter's failure, how he got scared and doubted. And some might use this story as an illustration of the problem of an inadequate faith. And some would imagine the disgrace Peter felt from the others when Jesus was forced to rescue him and to bring him back to the boat. But I would argue that such an emphasis misses the point. This is not an illustration of an inadequate faith, but of an outrageously courageous act of faith. Peter was the only one who even considered walking on the water. Though it was a brief walk that required Jesus' rescue, Peter is the only one in human history to step out on the waves and stand tall, albeit briefly, in faith and courage. And I do not think Peter should be scorned, but admired. After all, many of us are afraid of failure and disgrace, that when we get to the end of life, all that can be said of us is he, she might have achieved something if they only had tried something. Peter can be our inspiration to try something, to dare to do the improbable or to accomplish the impossible. It all starts by getting out of the boat. That is, by taking a risk. Trying something always entails some risk, because it's always possible that we might fail at the thing that we're trying. And so, how do we overcome this fear of failure and gain the courage to try? First, we have to be honest with the possibility of failure. Nobody is perfect. Everybody messes up once in a while. Even Tiger Woods has recorded a few double bogeys, and Don Bradman got a duck in his last innings. Yes, we will fail once in a while. Get over it. It happens to everyone. The second bit of advice I want to give you about failure and disgrace is that it doesn't necessarily mean that your life or the world is suddenly over because you failed. When Peter began to sink into the dark and restless water, did he drown? No. Jesus was there and immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Matthew 14:31. When you dare to do great things for Christ, you can count on Jesus being there to help you along. Jesus just loves it when we take risk of failure in doing something grand for the kingdom. And he will honour that risk by granting his abiding and strengthening presence. If you will attempt the unlikely for Jesus, then he will be there to support you. Maybe the best words to describe Peter are impulsive and passionate. When Jesus asked to sit in Peter's boat to teach the crowd on the shore, Peter did not hesitate to respond in the affirmative to this new and unknown rabbi. When he was asked to become a fisher of people, Peter made an immediate career change. When no one else had an answer for the true identity of Jesus, it was Peter who spoke up and said, "You are the Messiah." Mark 8:29. When Jesus spoke of his impending suffering and death, it was Peter who wanted to argue the point. When the disciples' loyalty was questioned, Peter promised to die for Jesus. And when the time came to be loyal, Peter denied. He even knew Jesus. And when the Spirit filled the disciples at Pentecost, it was Peter who was first to bear witness to the truth about Jesus. Yes, Peter was impulsive and passionate, which was sometimes a great asset and sometimes a great liability. He was the loudest and the most impetuous of all the disciples. And here we see him attempting the impossible and failing miserably in front of all the other disciples. You can hear them later saying to Peter, "What were you thinking? You're always trying to show off. Serves you right. That was a really dumb thing to do. Maybe next time you'll think things through a little bit more. Failure. Now disgrace. We've all been there. Or we fear being there." Fear is a debilitating, paralyzing, wasting disease of the mind. Our fears are never what they seem and always worse in our minds than in reality. Only Peter had the gumption to ask if he could do a little water walking too. Amazingly, Jesus said, "Yeah, come." And more amazingly, Peter actually climbed out of the boat and he took a few steps toward Jesus. Now here we see failure. Jesus says, "Come." The only man who responds then sinks. There's not enough faith to keep him afloat in the storm that he is now facing. And unfortunately, that failure comes to all of us. And for those who have felt its icy clutch, there is the paralyzing fear of failure. But let me ask you, what would you have done if Jesus called you to step out of the boat that night? And I'm ready for some answers. What would you have done? You don't know. God, I thought I would have been inundated with... I don't give you much of a chance normally, but here it is, an opportunity today. If Jesus said, "Come to me on the water," what would you have done? You'd ask someone else to do it. Well, I think I'd be game enough to give it a go. Yeah. You'd have a go? Good, I'm noting all these down now because we'll have jobs for you later. Okay, no one else wants a... Yes? You would have sunk before you got out of the boat. Okay, John Maxwell in his book, Failing Forward, says, the circumstances really have nothing to do with getting over your personal history. Past hurts can make you bitter or better. The choice is yours. In other words, we always look at what is going on around us to determine our condition. But the real condition is always determined by what is happening inside of us. Oliver Goldsmith said it this way: our greatest glory is not in ever failing, but in rising each time we do fail. We have God's power to overcome our fear of failure and disgrace. Many have refused to succumb to the fear of failure. And one such story is about a child who was born into a family of a poor Jewish merchant in 1879. As a little boy, the child was somewhat shy and withdrawn. His parents were concerned because he was slow at learning, and he did not speak until the age of 4. And at the age of 16, he failed his entrance examinations at the Polytechnic University in Zurich, Switzerland. He tried again a year later and succeeded. In 1905, the University of Bern turned down a doctrinal dissertation as irrelevant and fanciful. Later, he received a doctorate from the University of Zurich but he could only get a job as an obscure patent examiner. While this young boy had some failures at the beginning, his persistence paid off. He formulated the theory of relativity in physics and became one of the greatest geniuses who ever lived. He never let failures defeat him. His name was Albert Einstein. We can overcome failure and disgrace in our lives. Where would the world be if after low grades, failed tests, and a very low entry into the workplace, Einstein had let the disgrace of his past or the fears of future failure determine his actions? The great inventor Charles Kettering said, "The only time you don't want to fail is the last time you try." In my youth, studying was never one of my strengths. In fact, I even failed English in my intermediate certificate when I did my last year at school. This was the main reason that I tried to avoid theological college, even though I had a strong sense of God's call to the ministry. When I finally went to theological college, I failed every exam in my first half yearly exams. And I thought, well, that's it. I told God he'd made a mistake in getting me into college. I always knew I couldn't do the study. And this now just proved it. And it was humiliating to not see a pass against your name when they stick all the results up on the notice board for everybody to see. However, the principal called me into his office and he told me what I was to study over the holidays and that I could do more exams after the holidays. Somehow, I scraped through, and each year I improved a little until in my final year I won the thesis prize. Failure never has to be final. Notice that Peter has a decision to make. He's seen God do great and powerful things. Earlier this day, he's witnessed Jesus feed 5,000 plus people with a picnic lunch. Now he's heard the Master call him. Jesus has spoken and Peter needs to respond. But Peter has spent his life around this lake, and every experience of his life has taught him one thing: men can't walk on water. We are never alone, even when we fail. Notice that at the moment of crisis for Peter, Jesus leans over and he takes his hand. Jesus has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That means that as we step out in faith, in obedience to what God has spoken to us, he will be there when our foot slips or we begin to sink. And as we step out for Christ, he's always with us. So we can stand tall against the fear of failure and disgrace, because God has actually empowered us to succeed. And he's promised that no matter what comes, he'll be there with us. We do not have to remain slaves to past failures and disgrace. Theodore Roosevelt said, "The only man who never makes a mistake is the man who never does anything." And if we allow the fear of failure and disgrace to keep us from trying, then real failure is always the outcome. The failure of a wasted life. Peter failed. He did. He sank. He took his eyes off Christ and he placed them on the circumstances and he immediately began to sink. But keep this in mind. Peter the fisherman is the only man other than Christ to have ever walked on water. The less you venture out, the greater your risk of failure. Ironically, the more you risk failure and actually fail, the greater your chances are of success, says John Maxwell in his book, Failing Forward. I imagine with Peter's first step on the water, he was still holding on to the boat. And with the second, perhaps he was still really close. But as he began to span the distance between the boat and Christ, the stabilizing forces in his life started the whispers of failure. And then failure was born. But in reality, Satan's weapon against us is an untruth that he places in our minds. And in this case, it's the belief that we will fail. But as the writer of Proverbs states, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 23, verse 7. When we act in fear, failure is the outcome. When we act on faith and God's word, victory is inevitable. Remember, Jesus said he overcame the world and the enemy of our souls. It's our job to walk in the victory. And like Zig Ziglar said, act on the promise. Don't worry if everything is where it needs to be. Head into the water and see what God will do. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you learn to do it well. Peter was a man given to action. He got in trouble for cutting ears off, for trying to correct Jesus, for not wanting Jesus to serve him. But in the end, he was the first to lead Gentiles to Christ. And in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he performed the first healing after the resurrection. He won 3,000 people to Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And the mere passing of his shadow could restore a man to health. Did Peter have failures? Yes. And I mean, he had some big ones. But because he knew how to respond to them, when they came, he was able to overcome them in his life. And rather than living dominated by the fear of failure and disgrace, he stood tall against the terrors of his soul. And the man who denied Christ became a giant in his kingdom. Today, with the inspiration of Peter and the support of Christ, I want to challenge you to do an outrageously courageous act for the kingdom of God, knowing that even if you fail, it'll be okay. In the outline of this message, which I see many of you following, please note the examples of outrageously courageous acts that you might consider on behalf of the Lord. Perhaps things that you wouldn't normally dare to do. For example, write a letter to a newspaper editor. Invite neighbours over for a meal. Become a volunteer at the Mustard Tree or Stable One. Speak to Peter about getting involved with our new Seniors Hope ministry. Or speak to Pastor Tony about getting involved with our new Mustard Tree missional ministry. Witness to a friend or a family member. Give a truly sacrificial gift of money. Inquire how you can get your name on the church mega roster, doing morning teas, welcoming folk, or a host of other things. Befriend a woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. The fear of failure has a paralyzing effect. Sometimes we refuse to try new things because of what others would think, or how we would feel if we failed. So we play it safe and avoid taking any risks. But that's not God's way. Scripture is packed with risk takers. People of faith, like Peter, go boldly where no one else has gone before. Don't let the fear of failure keep you from attempting new ways of serving God. It's time to do an outrageously courageous act. So I encourage you to step over the side of the boat with your eyes fixed on the Lord. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, are you ready to run the race set before you? Fixing your eyes on Jesus, on whom your faith depends from start to finish. Friends, overcoming the fear of failure and disgrace has been our topic this morning. Some of you here today can testify to times when Christ reached out and grabbed you before you went under. Others are even now calling out in the midst of a terrific storm. While many may have stayed in the boat, watching, not yet ready to call out, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come. Friends, I'm asking you today to consider doing something that could only be described as an outrageous, courageous act of faith. Something akin to what Peter did. Will you get out of the boat? I want to close with a prayer that has been written by Sir Francis Drake. And I think you'll guess why when you hear it. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we've sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when the abundance of things we possess, we've lost our thirst for the waters of life, having fallen in love with life. We have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we've allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Amen.